Blog Talk Radio.
The Second Epistle General of Peter. 2 Peter 1.
Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Praise the Lord, gentlemen. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. We'd like to welcome you to our program. We are live this Saturday morning at 9 a.m. on November the 11th. We thank God for another day, another opportunity to speak about his word, to discuss his word, to encourage you in the word of God that you might live a life that's pleasing to him, that we might come together and meditate on the word, that we encourage one another, that we challenge one another, that we hold each other accountable, that we support each other in the things of God as we grow in faith together, that we might glorify him in our lives, in our communities, and we might lead in the church, in the home, and in our communities. So we thank God for all those who are online, those who called in at 646-668-2636, and we see you there on the switchboard. If you would like to join the conversation, press 1 on your keypad. We can see you there. We'll bring you into the conversation. For those online at blogtalkradio.com/DeaconThomasFarr. We also encourage you to continue to join, to continue to be part of and listen in. And if you receive this link on your cell phone and a text message, again, we ask that you might consider sharing it, that you might encourage those men and those brothers in your life. As we minister one to another, encourage one another, that we all might stand before him and hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I'm going to go with prayer, and then we're going to go into our conversation today. It's going to be talking about the reasons we should evangelize. the reasons we should evangelize. We're going to touch on a couple of things here. That we as the body of Christ, we have to, in this time, in the times that we see and what's going on, and how we see a lot of things going on in the culture locally, in our homes, in the communities, in the world, the body of Christ is called to get outside the four walls, and we will go out into the world, speak the truth and the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that souls might be saved. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father God, I say thank you right now, Lord. I thank you for all that you are and all that you have done, God. I thank you for what you're doing in the lives of men and women in the body of Christ. I thank you for what you're doing in the lives of leaders, as pastors, elders, and deacons, those who labor in the ministry behind the scenes, for those faithful workers, Lord God. Father, we pray today, oh God, that you would bring peace in the minds of your people. We pray for healing, spiritually, emotionally, and physical healing. We pray, God, for the souls that are lost today. We pray, God, for those in the hospitals who may be going through physical and mental health issues. We pray for those, oh God, in prisons, oh God, whose hearts and minds, whose bodies may be locked up, their hearts and minds to be set free through the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, Father, we ask that you continue to use your ministry angels, your ambassadors, oh God, to speak life, to bring hope to the lost, oh God. Father, we thank you, God, for all that's going on in our lives. We thank you for our children, grandchildren, our wives, our mothers and fathers, parents, those that we're connected to by blood and by spirit, Lord God. We ask you to continue to watch over them and bless them, God. Set a hedge of protection around them. God, today we pray for the children, Lord God. We pray for the children, God. Cover them. Set a hedge of protection around them, God, that their hearts and minds will be protected from the fiery darts of the enemy, trying to corrupt them, trying to allure them, trying to get to them, oh God, that we try to destroy another generation. Because the enemy's done it before. He's done it with the birth of Moses. He's done it with the birth of Christ. And even now he's attacking our children to destroy a generation that's coming up, oh God. But God, we know you are faithful. So God, we thank you right now, Lord God, for you to strengthen and guide us, Lord God. And Father, today, be near our family and friends who are suffering. Those who are going through pain that's paralyzing right now, their physical body and their emotional body. We thank you that your perfect will is being done. Strengthen us and keep us. Continue to watch over your church. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen. Well, brothers, today we're going to have a conversation. This is second episode of the discussion of the reasons we should evangelize. And I have some brothers on the line here. I'm going to bring them in. A couple brothers here joining us this morning. Again, it's Saturday morning. So I want to begin the conversation. Well, let me greet my brothers first. Let me see what I got here right now. Amen. Praise the Lord, brother. Last four numbers, 7578. Good morning.
Good morning, Deacon. This is Elder Frederick.
Hey, how you doing, Brother Elder Frederick? How you feeling?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
Amen. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you for taking time out of joining us and being part of the conversation. And I got my other brother here, Brother Boone. I guess that's Brother Boone. Last four numbers, 4945.
Good morning. Good godly morning.
Over.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I got you now, brother. I got you now. Yeah, I got you. Good sound check right now. I got you. Okay, you know what? Really?
good.
No, I can hear
good
you.
Good morning. Oh, you can. You can.
All right, bro.
Okay.
You know we live and recording. You know that, right? I just want to make sure you understand.
Right.
We don't edit.
Good
this
morning.
Live. This is unedited, raw.
Raw.
Amen, brother.
Like
good morning. Thank you. I know.
I would like to say good morning to. I'd like to say good morning to Elder Frederick and also to you, Deacon Farr. Great to be here with you.
Amen. Well, thank you, brother. Amen. And so next time I'm gonna do a pre-sound check with you, man. But that's okay. You're all right with me. Amen. Well,
I appreciate
our conversation today. Well, our conversation today, we're going to talk about again the reasons why we should evangelize. And a couple of the topics, well, I'm going to start with the opening. I'll come to you first, Elder Williams. When I ask the question, why should we evangelize, what do you say, sir?
Real quickly, reason we should evangelize is because Jesus commissioned us and called us to evangelize and tell the good news. And the second part is evangelism is an act of love.
Mm.
For the Christian neighbor, yeah.
All right. Elder Boone, what you got? What you got, brother? Why should we evangelize? Well, what do you say?
Well, I tell you, first of all, I like to break down the way Jesus broke down things in parables. So it's just spreading the gospel. A lot of people don't realize that evangelism is. What is that word? It's just spreading the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news of what God has done for all of us.
Amen. See, that's what I'm saying. See, you brothers are ready because y'all got a basic understanding. So now we're going to build upon that. Because, again, what we do here is Christian Men's Talk. We want to talk about these issues and subjects that we encourage one another and to get us to think about our faith, our salvation, who we are in Christ. We say we're men of God. And what does that look like? And how do we apply that? And I believe that evangelism is one of the things, because both my brothers said it, you know, it's a call. It's a command of Christ. This is what he told his church. If we look back, if we go to, Matthew 28, it begins there. It begins there where he says the Great Commission. I'm going to read this real quick because, you know, I always want to start off with the scripture, with the foundation of what we're talking about here. And it speaks in Matthew 28, 18 and 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." That's a call for everyone. I know a lot of people feel like it's not the job it's not our job personally, but we have to remember the scriptures is written to the believer, for the believer, on how we live our life. It doesn't say anything here about the pastors, the elders, the evangelists. It's for every believer that we go and we share the gospel, given the opportunity in how we live our lives and those people who know us and those that we're connected to. And we have the authority because this is what Christ is saying. When you read that verse, he doesn't say pastors, elders, and the deacons. He's speaking to his church, and we are his church. And that's one of the things I've learned over my years is that the church, we have to be outside the four walls. There's a purpose for gathering, but there's also a going out that a lot of churches have forsaken. Because I think we're good at gathering, but are we good at going out and reaching the lost? Because the church has a reputation or a past. Where the church, we will build ourselves into little clusters and try and separate ourselves from the world and the culture. But we're separated from the world and the culture by how we think and how we live. But we are to engage them in the truth and the hope. And something I talked about before in one of my other conversations, that, you know, we have to understand. We had to hear the gospel from someone because someone spoke to us about it. They were out. They had to get outside the box. They had to evangelize us. We were all evangelized at some point. And we have now. Can we be that person in someone else's life? And that's what we have to really think about when we think about evangelism. So today, as we talk about the reasons why, I'd like to. My brothers opened up with, but I'm asked this question. One of the things we talk about is we evangelize because hell is real. Hell is a real place, you know. I'm going to give a couple of scriptures, and I'm going to come to you, Brother Williams, and I'm going to get your insight on this. But hell is real. The Bible speaks of hell. And like we say, we all heard that people have a wrong illusion of hell, even Christians. don't have a study and understanding of hell. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to give some, always give Christian, scriptural references to the brothers, and they may go back and search this thing out for themselves later on. I'm going to give you Revelation 21 and 8. I'm going to give you Matthew, 25:41-46. Revelations 14 and 11. And 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9. And then the last one is going to be Matthew 10, verse 50. To understand that as believers, because we believe all the word of God from Genesis to Revelation, we know hell is real. And as Christians, because the brother mentioned them, we'll come back to quickly for more insight, because we love God and we love people. Because if we believe hell is real, the same way we believe that we're saved from it, how much love do we have for the unbeliever how much love do we don't have? As individuals, we don't care. We hate people that much that we don't want to tell them about Christ that they might not go to hell. Amen? Amen. Brother Williams, what do you say, sir?
Ooh, that's a heavy lift. But, I think that, I'm telling you, man. You said it well, and just that pricked my heart again, even after being a believer for a long time, is how often are we reaching back to the lost? When we talk about hell is real, it's absolutely real. And the point that we as Christians, no matter how long we've been on the journey, rather today, a week, a month, 25 years or more, we are, like you said, it's not the pastors, the preachers, the fivefold ministry at large alone. It is the church abroad that is called to be ministers of Christ and to go out and tell of this good news. For example, the chef doesn't have to go out and tell about the restaurant. In fact, it would seem a little out of order if the chef went out and said that the restaurant's food was good. Why? Because he cooked it. Better yet, it's better when the customers, by word of mouth, is able to go out and share. In most cases, it's more believable. More people are willing to hear it and try it because a friend told a friend and they trust their friend. Weirdly enough, I always think of it, it's so common that and easy that we can really share this gospel and share the good news that God has given us. And instead of looking at it as, I grew up in church and people gave us, be afraid of hell. And I like to look at it to be fully aware that hell is real and that without salvation and a relationship with Christ, that is where we're bound, with or without willingness to want to go there or not. But we have to share this gospel and to bring men and women into realization that no matter how good we live, we still need Jesus, because Acts 4 and 12 tells us that, and there is no other name. There's salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven that has been given among mankind whereby we must be saved. To be saved from hell means that we need Jesus Christ. And the only way, like you said, if someone's going to get Jesus Christ, is we have to love people enough to share the gospel. Love Jesus enough to share what he's done for us. And I just feel like it's not something that you have to have a degree in. You just have to have a relationship, and your relationship is just knowing that how good God has been to us. And when we focus on aiming to please God and to go after him, hell is by far behind us. It's not something that we have to look back to. It's something that we can be mindful that is there. And my last point is because you had mentioned that, so many people are in the church and they're afraid to go out. And the moment that you said that, it hit me in a way like this. It amazes me of how afraid we are to go out when we came from out. We were brought into fellowship with Jesus. We were brought into fellowship with the church. We were brought out or into the church from out of the world. And then when we come to Christ, our believers don't have the same love for those same individuals to give them a lifeline and save them from the sinking ship. So that is my thought about, you know, hell is real, and the focus of us in evangelizing is to save them, and our love is shown not by words but by deeds of going back and winning the loss.
Amen, brother. Amen, amen. I mean, I agree, and I think that's what we have to examine ourselves and look at that thing and understand that you're right. I like what you said. We were saved from the path of sin we was on, and how much more do we love those around? Because the Bible says, love our enemies and love our neighbors. So what are we doing? How are we loving them? It's there. Now how are we applying it, and how are we acting that thing out? Brother Boone, what do you say, sir?
Yes,
Brother Williams,
hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead. You're good. You're on. You're live. Yes, I can
okay.
hear you.
Thank you. Thank you. Brother Williams actually, in a nutshell, said it right, where evangelism is to go out of the church. Just piggybacking off what he stated, there are a few, more than a few churches that are afraid to go outside the walls. We already know that. That's why the churches that we – that's why, actually, the communities are like they are, because a lot of the churches don't want to go out in communities to associate with God's people, which hinders the education, the needs, the wants, or just the knowing of who God is and how to be able to relate to how the world is today. And then on top of that, as we know, a lot of churches are businesses. They become so businesslike, they forget about what God simply wants you to do, as stated, to love, to be concerned, to share, to accommodate those in need. And that's a problem.
Oh, my. All right, brother. You know what? This is why I have very little friends, but I got friends like y'all. You know what? Because you're right. And, but again, you know what? I say it like this. This is why we have – this is why I believe when it comes to ministry and it comes to men of God, a lot of things happen because the men of God are complacent and compromising and not holding each other accountable in all that we're saying. Because if the word, because the word is the word, and the Holy Spirit is going to lead men. Again, I look back at, well, I'm going to look at scripture. I want to look at the 12 disciples. I want to look at what Paul and Barnabas and Peter and Silas did. Those men were like-minded in what Christ called them to do. Paul went on 3 missionary journeys into Asia Minor, into these pagan places, into these ungodly places, to take the truth and the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ, what he knew, what he believed, and what he witnessed. And the apostles were the same way. They went out after Christ, after the resurrection, after the filling of the Holy Spirit. They went out. They went out and preached the gospel at their peril. So if we read scripture in the 21st century or even in the last 2,000 years, you know, some of us, we're 60, 40, 50 years old and been saved for how long we've been saved, and even for the brothers that are listening, how long have you been saved with a gospel, with a spirit and a word, having not now pushed you and motivated you to yes, I must go out and share the gospel. You know, when you read it, when you take it in, why is the Spirit not stirring us up to do these things? And that's why we have to consider. We have to examine ourselves. You know, we have to go to what the Word is saying and now apply the Word and obey the Word. we all heard sermons and preachers and have taught about being hearers and doers. When does the doing start to stir up in the body of Christ? And I believe as men, if we lead, the church will follow. If we stand, even when we talk, you talked about it before, churches, how the men of God allow, we not hold each other accountable. Let me say it like that. How will we not hold in, if we say we are a church, we're a ministry, what are we doing to fulfill the Great Commission? What are we doing? What is the mission and the vision of the local congregation? These are the things that the men in the church can hold each other to and hold leadership to. But if we don't, then we have what we have. And then I like what the brother said, we were all saved from something, and at what point are we not now? We are converted, transformed, reconciled back to God, and now we're willing to go out and reach those who were like us. I believe Paul wrote about it. Some of you were. The sins, the iniquities, the evil, the things that we see going on in the culture right now. Some of us did those things and liked it and were good at it. But now after Christ, why don't we see that we have an opportunity to go and speak hope and life and bring other folk out? But just imagine, I'll say it when we're talking about evangelism, who took time to evangelize you to get you to where you are? And Brother Williams, I know you and your family, and some of us were raised come from families who have a Christian and a church background. But I always go to what Paul and Barnabas and Silas did. They went to folk who didn't have that family tie. Because even in Jerusalem, the Jews persecuted the Christians also. That's how Paul got his job as a Pharisee. And when Christ and when the church rose up, he was a persecutor until Jesus stepped in. And that zeal, that's the word I want to look for, zeal. There's a zeal for sin, but why we don't have a zeal for righteousness? Amen? You listen, it's just Christian Talk. I'm here with Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. and tonight. Today we are discussing evangelism, the reasons why we should, So I'm going to come back and ask the question again. I ask the question again, but on the subtopic, how much, brothers, I want to ask you this. How much is it really that we have a love for mankind? We don't have a love for the people we see every day that we don't want to evangelize. I know we can come up with a lot of excuses, but what do you say in the heart to encourage your brother? Don't you love people that enough that you would want to, knowing that hell is real? That's the thing that really starts to stir me today, that I just wanted to bounce the idea around, because we have to see, if we believe the word of God for our salvation and assurance of our salvation, we believe God answers prayer, we believe all these things, but how can we live, how do we minimize our responsibility to evangelism when it comes that if we look at a person as a created image of God, but it's living under the curse and the sin of Adam, that we don't want to bring them out from their destiny, from the path they're on, from hell. Brother Williams, what do you say?
All right. I am going to say sometimes I would say, because I've experienced this in life, at one point, even as you said, I've been raised in church for as long as I can recall. And though not being perfect and have made some errors and slipped along the way, not being perfect, of course, I still had to find Jesus in new areas of my life that I wouldn't be bound for hell, especially knowing what the word calls. And doing that, I think for the average person, what has been something that I've either experienced or been around is so oftentimes people separate their Christianity, their belief, to some degree from their everyday life. And because of that, it is as if evangelism is sort of like making someone feel like they're going to church or they're being preached to or preached at. Some cases, evangelism, when people hear of it, it brings conviction, regardless if the person who is evangelizing it shouldn't be their intent, but to condemn a person, but when the truth is spoken, conviction should come. And I believe that when the conviction comes and some people evangelize and they get the response from an individual who feels conviction, they may not be prepared for it, or they may be uncomfortable with having to face that, when in reality, there's no ownership of the person evangelizing. It's just sharing the news. It's just sharing Christ with them. And there will be times that in sharing Christ and who he is and what he's done for us will make someone uncomfortable. So for me, I think oftentimes, especially when we look at the Word of God, is evangelism in some light may seemingly be someone else's role. And I know we talked about this at the beginning of the broadcast, is so often we see, and especially brothers, oh, I'm not the preacher, that's not my job. Oh, I'm not the elder, that's not my job. I'm not the deacon, I'm a new brother. I can't go out here and tell people how to live their life and how to do things. But if your homie or your buddy was a murderer, or you know they stole from a store and stealing is wrong, you would tell them, yo, you know you're not supposed to steal, that's wrong. Like, you would tell them that. And if you would tell them that, then you could just simply tell them the good news. Again, I would just say that so many times it's, for some men, it's compartmentalized. It's my everyday life is separate from my evangelism and separate from my responsibility to be a minister of God just because I love Jesus, he saved me from my sins, and I want to share it with someone else. The right way to look at it is your everyday walk is evangelism. When you get up to wash your body, to put your clothes on, to step outside your door, everything you say, do, everywhere you go and where you will be is evangelism. Because we on here are able to hear, we're able to talk, we're able to share. But think about it. Not all of us were created the same way. There's people that can't talk. There's people that have to use sign language. There's people that are deaf. There's people that are limbless. There's people that are maybe they can't do anything. But if someone comes to them, the charge to spread the good news is still the same. The call to evangelism is still the same. A person in the hospital room on a sickbed can still evangelize to the nurses, to the doctors, even though they're in a sick situation. So, you know, for those of us that are well, Jesus said he didn't come to those that were in need of a physician. He came for those that were sick and that was sin sick. And that's what we are. You know, we've gotten in church and we forget that people are sin sick. They are the ones in need of a physician. When we come to church on Sunday morning, those are the ones that have seen the doctors, got their prescriptions, and knows what it takes to keep being well. We have to remember that our call is for the sick, those that are sick. So there may be a lot said, but at the end of the day, we cannot separate our Christianity, our walk, from our daily lives. It has to be one and whole.
Amen. I agree. I understand what you're saying. And that's what we have to see, brothers, that every day and every moment, I like what the brother said, when you get up in the morning and take a shower, that's evangelism. Amen. But you're right. And it has to be who we are. I think that's the biggest thing I've learned and I challenge brothers. If who you are is a man of God, because a lot of us wear the title of man of God. We get the T-shirt, we got it, we walk around with it, and, you know, that's how we greet one another. But if that's who we are, why do we struggle with compartmentalizing? Like, we live two lives. We live one life in church around the saints, and we come and we present ourselves a different way in the world, around the culture, in our communities, around our jobs. You know, we're known, we might be known as a nice guy, a polite guy, but are we known as the man of God to the unsaved world? And also what you were saying too, the opportunities. You know, I've heard and I've known people who are on their sickbed and during their sickness with cancer and other sicknesses, but yet glorify God in the midst of it. Like you're right, I knew some folk who were going to chemo and cancer treatment, even folk who, you know, back a couple of years ago with the COVID, in the hospital administering to the doctors and nurses that were there taking care of them, and had the confidence that either God was going to heal them or they were going to be in the presence of God. And that's a form of a boldness in evangelism, where you lose the fear of death, that sickness is not a hindrance, that we understand it's all the glory of God and part of his plan. And but if we're in that place, that's what we need to do. That's what we should pursue, to grow in that place where who God is and who we are and the Holy Spirit within us is there. And this is what we are portraying. We portray a lot of things of who we are. I liken it to our resumes and our job experiences. If somebody asks you, what do you do? You know, are you a carpenter, a candlestick maker, a butcher, baker, cyber guy, IT guy? We can tell people about that. But that same fervency and passion should be in what we believe, who we believe, and what we do believe. And that's what evangelism really is. But we just have to be, to use the cliche, as men of God, we have to be out the closet with our faith instead of holding it into a place where, you know, I'm not going to be that guy in this space. But that, again, is the opportunity that God has given us to be that guy in that space to speak his truth and his gospel. Brother Boone, what do you say, sir?
Both of you definitely, as always, are hitting on point. Now, we know evangelism is mainly outside of the church. So there's a lot of people that are walking outside of the church still, that they still have the love of God in them. They still are seeking the education that God wants us to have and how we are to walk this earth. And that's a good thing. And we also know that outside the church, we see good people and we see evil. But evangelism is based on, as we know, showing the love of Christ. Those people that we encounter that we never seen before, you'll see the most beautiful type of personalities on earth, and it's a Christ-like. And that's where you get your fulfillment of seeing what evangelism is, helping one another in good, even if it's helping to carry a package or a suitcase because someone is just inundated with what they have in their hand. That's still evangelism. It's no real hard way to accept it. It's easy. It's just love, care, compassion. Of course, if you're going to church or listening to church on TV, however you're grasping it, there are some areas of the church time that they show evangelism. So it's what you intake from the church, or intake from those who are on the street, or intake for those at the job. Taking those good things help you grow into a Christ-like manner. So what you intake is good, and keep that good. But if you decide to go the opposite way and do things that you know that we should not do, then that's your acceptance. But that's not evangelism. So if you're in the church or out of the church and have that mindset where I used to be myself, speaking of me, hands raised, used to be in that manner, but I've decided it's a decision where you have to make to evangelize. We all know between good and bad. Even if a blind man can see that, a person who's deaf can feel it, because we have a soul. Our soul is what we intake good. Our soul is what we take bad. But it's a decision. Are you going to be an evangelist? Would you like to evangelize? These are the things that you're hearing from Deacon Barr right now and Brother Williams. What do you say, brother?
Amen. So I agree. I mean, amen. That's what this conversation is about, to stir up the passion, to stir up the spirit within every brother that's listening. Like you said, I agree with what you're saying, brother. It's the same thing. You don't get there, but all of it goes back to spiritual growth. Are we growing in the grace and the knowledge of God? And then are we being stirred up to evangelize? Like even in our local congregation, is there an atmosphere of evangelism where we're pushing in people? This is part of their faith. This is part of their spiritual responsibility. And then are we preparing people to go out? That goes back to, again, do people in the church, we talked about the folk in the church, because sometimes we may need evangelism in the local body, inside those four walls, that people are rooted and grounded in the word of God. Because that's what Jesus said in Matthew, are we making disciples? Are we teaching? Those are the two words that stand out in that passage for me. We're teaching and making disciples, because those are the folk. If we're successfully preparing people to go, then that could be the hindrance of why they don't go, because they're not being successfully prepared, either by the shepherd or their self. Are we pursuing the growing God? Because again, Sometimes we wait to the pastor or the teacher to feed us every Sunday, but now are we taking it to the place that we now, are we growing? What Paul said about from milk to meat, are we starting to feed ourselves? Are we starting to feel that place where now God, we feel confidence because of what we know and how we handle the word of God, that we study to show ourselves approved? I believe all those things will get us to the place where evangelism, well, God can use us. And I think, and a lot of things I think why people don't evangelize, because they're not being prepared, or they're not prepared because it could be two things. What they're getting fed, and they're not digesting what they're getting fed. They don't have an expectation of growth, and they're not expected to grow, if I'm saying it right. Because, I'll say this, and I'm going to come back around again. But there was a time, okay, put this, before cell phones, tablets, and electronics, everybody brought a Bible and a notebook to church. So now some people hide behind electronics because you don't see people carrying Bibles anymore to church. But I don't see any notebooks. But if you got an iPad, maybe you're taking notes. But these are those also, what is the expectation when we come to church? We come to worship, to praise, and then to receive a word that now we can meditate and chew on that word, apply that word, and are we being taught application of word? Or are we just being entertained, which is another struggle and another conversation. But if you're being entertained, and then are you evangelizing, or are you inviting other people to come see the show? You know, because it's so much there. It's so much. We don't have enough time. Amen. But these are the things that's going to stir up in the conversation. And men, as husbands and fathers, I can always bring it back to the personal. As husbands and fathers, what are we doing in our homes? Because, again, the church is built on men and families. Strong men, strong families, strong families, strong church. So I want to make sure I bring it all back to them and put it back in some of the men's laps who are listening. It goes back into your lap. As men, how are you leading? Are you setting the atmosphere in your home where evangelism is part of who you are, and encouraging your wife and training your children. Because kids going to school now, it depends on your school district or the state or where you live at. But children now going to school, they're being bombarded with some crazy foolishness that is when I was in elementary school, we didn't even think about. We got arithmetic and reading and vocabulary. These people are throwing all kinds of stuff at our kids. So it's only going to be the word of God and what we learn and what they're taught at home to be able to defend that. Brother Williams, I'm going to come to you. What do you say, sir?
Oh, Deke. Oh, man, you, that was some heavy stuff. I say this is step one, we talked about, you know, when it comes to evangelism, everyone can do it. Next level, just as you were saying it, the word discipleship, I think that's next level, right? Next step two is discipleship. And not only is evangelism the lack thereof from folks that are Christians in the church or however they attend post-pandemic is maybe something that's not taught or shared. Discipleship alone is once a person is converted, is taking them to the next steps, which is bringing them into the Word of God and showing them the right reasons of why and how to flourish in their relationship with Jesus Christ so that they can be more effective evangelists and have some, you know, some experience in education now, if you want to use it that way. You got a little bit of experience, you got some knowledge, you're gaining wisdom because you're being able to live out this new Christian walk, and you also have a resource coming to church for worship, not showcasing. I know we can go on for 3 hours, if not more, about the church and how it has become more concert-driven and entertainment for in some areas, in some avenues for some folks. And then, you know, I was thinking, you know, when we talk about discipleship and evangelism, is what we have here is I would consider a group for men to come. And a lot of churches don't have small groups. They still have the traditional Sunday school, which means the person's still coming, you're being taught. As a man, something that I found over the last couple of years is the value of small groups for men. And it has been literally life-changing for me. And this is with folks from all ethnicities in some arenas. And hearing that our experiences, you know, one of the things as men is too often, I think I've said this before when I've shared, is too often we think we're in this alone. And there's no one else doing it. Although we see people doing life every day, we really feel like we're isolated. And one of the things that Christ wants us to know and understand is that we are not alone. Not only is he here for us, Christ himself died for us, but he gave us a community and a fellowship that can totally flourish into friendships in the church, so then we can do this together, that we can do it two by twos or whatever number that we can do it in, and we can also do it independently, especially when it comes to doing this in our homes. And this is the last part I'll speak about, because being in a church all my life, one of the hardest groups of people to disciple at times has been my household. Why? Because they've been around it, they've grown up in church, they have their perspective, they have their views, they have, even as being a household of believers, there's things that they agree with our faith, and there's things that they don't agree with our faith, but yet, as a man of God, I'm still called to give them the truth, still show them the way, still walk before them in ways, and I have not been perfect, and my imperfections is always coming back, one, being repentant to God, and also doing that with my family. To be honest, you know, what you said, Deacon Farr, that doing it at our home. But regardless of whatever challenges that we run into, we're still called to keep doing it. We're still called to keep going forward. So I'm just going to reiterate, step one, everyone can evangelize. Step two, discipleship and evangelism classes are paramount and can be life-changing for any ministry. Worship is there, and then small groups, really places where men and individuals can connect. Not only has small groups worked for me, but my wife has one, as well as my children, and they are very good ways for us to continue to be discipled and to learn how to disciple others and evangelize in our communities and wherever we may be at. So what do you say there?
Amen, sir. Amen. And you're right. And I believe that with a small group, that's what a small group we want to refocus in here, Issues Christian in this talk, is to have men's ministries where the brothers come together and reason over the word and interact with each other and build those friendships and relationships. You're right, that whatever you're going through, it's not new and you're not the only one. But again, we have that intimacy, we have that transparency, we have that time as men when we come together. And I do think that is important. That's the thing. I agree with what you said, because I think that me being part of a men's group and a men's Bible study helped me, how can I say, get over some of the humps or some of the plateaus to understanding the Word of God more, being in those more interrelations where we can have interaction and go back and forth over the Scripture for understanding and application. And that way, you know, when we have that commonality, it's less likely for us to be deceived or be in our own mind about something and get the wrong perspectives, make us think through Scripture. That's the biggest thing I've learned in being in part of small men's Bible studies and, you know, also the small groups. Amen. So that is a something. I mean, again, how are we doing? Is the atmosphere, are we being discipled? And that's the whole thing. And with that, it'll stir up in us the passion to evangelize. Brother Boone, can you hear me? What you say, sir?
Yes, sir, I hear you. I just want to talk to those people who are on this line who was actually brought up in the church. I say I was taking to the church. Not that I didn't want to, but I had to go because Mama said, put on this bow tie and shirt and pants and let's go. We're going to the church. So, yes, as a little boy, I was brought into the church. So not meaning that although I was brought to the church, I heard the singing and the shouting and the praising and the baptisms. And the question is to yourself is how far or what did I get out of that? You know, you don't get nothing out. You don't get anything out of the church until you get something in yourself, which is the church in you, meaning your soul. So all the education and taking here and taking there, you and I know we've seen many that've been all around the churches. But where are they? Unfortunately, they're in jail, incarcerated, or in mental institutions. So it's how we develop ourselves. And what we hear, you can get teaching all day long, but how are you quenching that? How are you educating and fulfilling what you want to do for Christ, for the kingdom? So don't get it twisted or confused. You don't have to do something because they said so. Do something because Christ said so. So when you become that Christ-like person and you walk this earth, because we all know we're not in church 7 days a week, unless we're in church 7 days a week within our minds and our souls and how we walk. That's church. So consider church, I consider church, as a fueling station. I'm on empty and I need to get some gas. I got to fill up. But to go once a week just to get filled up, you're not growing. I've experienced that. I'm not growing. I'm the kind of person that I'm a director of the outreach church of where I go now. I'm a founder of an outreach community outreach at this time in Anne Arundel County. So you have to exercise what you do in evangelism to become an evangelist. It's not hard. Like I said, Jesus kept it simple. Love, compassion, understanding, caring, all those things. It's not something you get a diploma in, as someone stated earlier. You don't graduate from it, but you feel great from it because it's what God wants you to do, and he blesses you for it. So don't think it has to be a whole bunch of confetti and balloons to be an evangelist. It just has to be those things that I stated. And don't think that you are definitely going to get it from that preacher or person in the pulpit that's preaching specific subject matters. It's your decision, and you can't blame it on those in the pulpit or those in the church. It's your soul that grasps it. As stated, a blind man can do it. A person that cannot speak can do it because it's a soul thing. It's an inner thing. What do you say, my brother?
Amen, brother. You are correct. It's what's in you. If the word is in you, everything else will follow. The actions will follow. We have to put into action the word of God. We are the hands and feet of Christ, and what God is commanding us to do is to reach the lost, is to minister to the lost, to meet the needs, to be able to feed the hungry. And what's the scripture? I was thinking of it while you was talking, but I couldn't find it. Where he talks about, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I think that's in Matthew. I couldn't find it right away, but that's what we ought to be. And in that, we're showing the world the love of God, the compassion of God that God has for every human being. That he's going to meet the temporal needs, but also he's going to feed us our spiritual needs. And then in that, we're going to go forth and be used by him again. You know, as we prepare to close, Elder Williams, I'm going to come to you, if you would, with a closing comment and then pray us out. But I just wanted to share this real quick. We are the church. And Israel, He chose Abraham's seed to be an example to the human race on how he wanted the humans to live. They were to be an example. He gave them a law. They gave them civil laws, ceremonial laws, and moral laws that they would be a reflection of him on the earth. And we know by the Old Testament and history, Israel failed. Sometimes he punished them. Sent them into captivity. He freed them. He delivered them. He put them in a land. He gave prosperity as a nation. Then they drifted off into idolatry again and back and forth. Just read the Old Testament. So we as a church are called to do this, to be the same thing. We're called to be salt and light. We're called to be not in the four walls, but to be salt and light in the culture. Is everything going to be godly? No, but we're going to be a preservant. We're going to be a voice. We're going to be in the church. Because, again, Christ did not die for a nation, a government, a system. He died for the human souls. He died that every human being will be reconciled back to the creator of the universe. So what are we doing to let those souls know that God loves them and that we love them and that we want to give them hope? And no matter what they're going through. And for us here in the 21st century, as men in America and culture, the trials of marriage, the trials of work and finances and raising our children and dealing with sicknesses and dealing with health issues, dealing with the politics, dealing with all of this stuff, we still have a hope in Christ. And that's what a lot of people we need to give when we talk about what people are mentally struggling with because they have no hope. People are addictions and alcoholics because they have no hope. And I know for myself, and I know the testimony that giving people hope will purge them of an addiction that rehab and methadone can't do. But you have to restore hope in their lives. People that are so depressed that they want to commit suicide or so depressed they don't even want to get out of the bed in the morning. We have the cure as the hope in Christ if we would reach out and show compassion to them. That's evangelism also. You know, we see that's the thing. We also, even in evangelism, well, we'll talk about this in more episodes, but even in evangelism. We think handing out a tract is enough and sharing the gospel is enough, but are we sacrificially willing to reach someone that they might have the hope of God in what they're going through? Amen? So this is why we should evangelize. Again, this is Issues Christian Men Talking. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here live every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. You can also go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. Because in this episode, in the archive of all of our episodes, I just was doing a review. I've been doing this since 2015, praise God. And I had a lot of things happen in my life since 2015. I was looking at the archive, and I'm going, man, I remember, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on. And now we're here in 2023. Amen? But anyway, in that, we have to continue to press in, brothers. I pray that you were encouraged by something that was said by the brothers. And again, brothers, I appreciate y'all for being on today and taking this time out of your schedules to share and encourage the brothers. And also, if you receive this on the text, please share it. You can go to the Facebook page. It'll be posted there at Issues Christian Men's Talk on Facebook. And I just want to encourage you brothers out there and continue to press in. And as I always say, never, never, never give up. Elder Williams, thank you. Brother Boone, thank you. Elder Williams, if you would, you got a closing comment and pray us out, if you would, sir.
Absolutely. Thank you, Deacon Farr, and thank you, Brother Boom, this morning for sharing as well. Certainly God is good and has been gracious to all of us to bring us to this day and this place. For we are all called. God is our Redeemer. He is He is willing to reconcile those that are lost and have reconciled others of us back into himself. And because of this, we do have that hope in Christ that Deacon Farr spoke of just recently. I challenge every brother that whatever your story, that's your story that Jesus gave you to go out and share another. However he saves you, whatever he's called you from, that is your testimony. That's your evangelist. Yes, your first evangelistic message to share with someone else is, you can simply put it as this: if you see me, you see the goodness of God. Regardless of where you are and where you're going, to see you as a changed individual and one that's following after Christ, that is to see God's goodness and to see God's mercy in the flesh. So you are God's witness in the earth. Romans, and as I begin to pray out, Romans 5 says this: therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have obtained our introduction by faith into his grace in which we stand, and we celebrate in the hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also celebrate in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, but because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Last verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So, Father, we thank you for your death, your resurrection, and your ascension to heaven to save the lost. And we thank you for your bloodshed on Calvary's cross. For without it, there's no redemption and no remission for our sins. So we say thank you on today for every brother that's on this line. We pray that as we close here, but never far from your presence, that we pray that you be with each individual and that you give us the strength and the courage to be evangelists in the earth realm, to go out beyond the walls of the church, out beyond the walls of our homes, and wherever we may we be a light that sit up upon a hill, that others look upon us, and when they see us, that they're able to see you, Jesus Christ, shining through us, and that you continue to modify and mold our characters and to be a reflection of Jesus Christ. Lord, we just thank you for this, and we thank you for all that you have done and all that you will do and continue to do for us in our lives and in the lives of our families and church. Lord, we just thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen, brothers. Thank you. Thank you very much. God bless.
God bless.
God, man.